You are now listening to the third message in this series by Lynn Hammond.
Well, praise the Lord. We've been talking about speaking in other tongues. We're finding out a lot of things about tongues. We found out really last week more by precept and example than we did actually teaching. Amen. The Lord just kind of moved in a supernatural way. But in talking about tongues, speaking in other tongues, we've been talking about it where your devotional life is concerned. You know, we said and we talked about speaking in other tongues where public ministry was concerned, but we're not speaking on that kind of speaking in tongues. Tongues and interpretation, we could call it. But we're speaking on tongues, the purpose of speaking in other tongues and the scope of tongues where your devotional life is concerned. Amen. And we said that we, as far as prayer is concerned, we need to tap into the supernatural in our praying. We need to tap into heaven's resources, the capacity that heaven has to help us to pray. And we went over last week and we were looking at Romans, the 8th chapter, and we'll just begin there tonight. Romans, the 8th chapter, and we'll begin reading at the 26th verse. I'm reading from the Amplified Bible. Romans 8, 26. It says here, "And so too the Holy Spirit comes to our aid, and He bears us up in our weakness, for we do not know what prayer to offer or how to offer it worthily as we ought. But the Spirit Himself goes to meet our supplication and pleads in our behalf with unspeakable yearnings and groanings too deep for utterance. For He who searches the hearts of men knows what is the mind of the Spirit, what His intent is, because the Spirit intercedes and pleads in our behalf according to and in harmony with God's will. We are assured and know that God, being a partner in their labor, all things work together and are fitting into a plan for good to those who love God and are called according to His design and according to His purpose." And so we found out last week, one thing about tongues was that you pray in other tongues, according to this scripture, you pray in other tongues on purpose. You pray in other tongues on purpose because you are led when you don't know. All right? You pray in tongues on purpose because you're led to. Because you're led to because you don't know. All right? Now, prayer, or we could say prayer, you know, is communion with God. So we could say prayer or communion with God always has a purpose. Prayer always has a purpose. Now let's turn over to 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter, and we'll see something else here. 1 Corinthians 14, verses 14 and 15, it says here, "For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit by the Holy Spirit within me prays, but my mind is unfruitful. Then what am I to do? I pray with my spirit by the Holy Spirit that is in me, and I pray with my understanding. I sing with my spirit by the Holy Spirit that is within me, and I sing with my understanding also." Now notice the writer here had very specific direction about prayer. He said this way. He said, "Sometimes I pray in the spirit, and sometimes I pray with my understanding. Sometimes I pray in the spirit. Sometimes I pray with my understanding. Sometimes I pray in English." In other words, for us, if you were Russian and you spoke the Russian dialect, Russian would be with your understanding. All right. But when you pray with your understanding, we would say that we would pray in English. Now I've seen this over the years, and this is something that we must be very, very cautious of. Because I've seen tongues abused in this way. I've seen people that have spoken in tongues for a long time. Sometimes they get lazy in their prayer life, and they just begin to resort to tongues every time. If you say pray, they start praying in tongues. Have you ever noticed that? I know in services, sometimes you'll say to people, you'll say, all right, now everybody, let's lift our hands and worship God. You'll say that to the people, and three-fourths of the congregation will go off in tongues. Now, I don't know if that's because they think tongues is the most spiritual thing to do. Sometimes people see something and it's supernatural and they go, that's spiritual, so I'm going to do that. And they're not led down in here. They're not bringing forth something out of their heart at all. All right? But sometimes in a service we'll say, you worship God, and people will lift their hands and they'll begin to pray in tongues. And sometimes it can just be that you're lazy. You're just resorting to tongues because you're not putting together a prayer. You don't want to get down into your heart and express your heart to God. You know, the Bible says, I believe it is over in John, the fourth chapter, around the 24th verses. It says there, Jesus was speaking to the woman at the well, the woman of Samaria. And Jesus said to her, that God is a spirit. And it says, he who worships him must worship him in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. And so when we say that we worship him in truth, or we worship him in the spirit, you know, when we worship God, it's important a lot of times that you express to God exactly what you have in your heart. Express in English to him. Instead of just always resorting to tongues, instead of tongues just becoming like a habit for you, you just need to have more reverence for the supernatural than that. If this is a vocal miracle, we need to have more reverence for it. And you need to put together prayers from your own. What are you thankful for? Has God done anything wonderful for you today? What did he do for you? When we said tonight, let's lift our hands and worship God, we said we're going to do it in the Spirit, so we did that. We sang in tongues there, because the Bible says we sing in tongues, or we sing with our understanding. But there's two things here. We sing in tongues, and we sing in our understanding. And it's not always right just to resort to tongues, for whatever reason it is. If you're thankful for something today, that Jesus, I thank you, Jesus. I thank you that you healed my daughter. I thank you that you have always remained faithful and true to every need that I have ever had, Father, and I'm so thankful to you that you healed my daughter. What else did he do for you? What else is he? Well, he's your Savior, isn't he? That's a good thing to thank him for. Thank you, Lord, for being my Savior. And just instead of always just going, let's lift our hands and worship God. I don't know what it is, and I've never really been able to articulate this from my own heart, but I know this. There is something about you talking to God, articulating to him, and expressing from your own heart, waiting on the Lord and talking to him in English with your understanding. Don't always have a preconceived idea about how prayer should be. You know, like we're talking in tongues, we say, well, pray in tongues. Or don't always think that prayer is, quote, praying in tongues. Prayer is expressing your heart to the Father. And sometimes, even in worship, You're so thankful to God. You're so very thankful that your English words don't express that. And so then you would move over to tongues. Because your spirit sometimes can express things better than you can when you say it in English. All right? And so we needed to talk about that tonight. There is something powerful, though, about you praying with your understanding. And I wanted to bring that out. We are talking about tongues and the power of tongues, but we're also talking about heart prayer. We're talking about effective prayer. Effective prayer is not always in tongues. Effective prayer is not always in volume. It's not always in intensity. You know, the Lord, you shouldn't disdain the times that you wait upon the Lord, because those times are platforms for maybe the next time when God may use you to do something loudly. Okay? Well, I remember Brother Hagin one time, I was listening to a tape, and he said this on the tape. He was praying to the Lord, and he said, and Lord, it wasn't exactly these words, but it was similar to this. He said, Lord, concerning prayer warriors, he said, don't have them to just pray in tongues about the things that they understand. He said, have them to pray them out in their understanding. I've noticed this about my own self. Sometimes if I begin to express to God in English something, it helps me to get clearer on it myself. All right? That's one thing about that. But then we are talking about speaking in other tongues. Now, Monday I was here, and I was seeking the Lord about something, and He had me to do something. I'm trying to seek Him about specific things, not take a whole bunch of things, like a basket full of things, and take everything in there and shake them all up and pray about all those things in one day, where it's called, you know, kind of like hit or miss prayer. Paul said that. That's a good kind of praying. Sometimes we do that. Paul says you can make mention of things in praying. And sometimes where that's concerned, we don't really realize the power of the Holy Spirit, even in our making mention of something, how God goes to work, how the angelic forces and hosts of God go to work for those kinds of prayers. So there is a place for that. But then the Lord has had me to focus in on some things. And so I took a sheet of paper. I was right down here on the floor, right down here. I took a sheet of paper, and the specific thing I was praying about, I wrote down everything that I knew about it. Everything that I knew. Now, you can do this where guidance and direction is concerned for your own life. If you're seeking God for guidance in a certain area or direction in a certain area, I wrote down what I was impressed about in my heart that I knew was God. Most amazing things I came up with about concerning this area. I wrote down everything, and then I took that and I prayed with my understanding about that. Why? Because I knew. And then I turned the page and I wrote on the next page all of the questions that I had. And I took each one of those questions. And so what is it that you do when you don't know? Pray in tongues. So what did I do? I don't know. The Bible says when you don't know, then you pray in tongues. So I began to take each one of those things and to pray in tongues. All right? So I prayed with my understanding and I prayed in tongues. Tongues. Speaking in other tongues at that time was a tremendous help for me. It got me where praying with my understanding could not get me. Are you listening? At that time, it got me there because the Bible said in Romans chapter 8, sometimes we don't know how to pray as we ought. I know you don't, sometimes that there are times you don't know how to pray as you ought. How many of you have had that experience? I don't know how to pray about that. Well, the Bible says we have a helper, and He's called the Holy Ghost. It says He comes to our aid. The Bible says He comes to our aid to help us in our inability to produce results. That's what the original translation of Romans 8:26 said. The Holy Spirit comes to our aid in our own inability to produce results. Now, it's kind of like this. I don't know how many of you have ever been sailing in a sailboat, but, you know, when you go sailing, you have to set the sail of your sailboat. You set the sail in the direction of the wind. And then that wind begins to carry you. Well, in John chapter 3 and verse 8, it talks there, Nicodemus was speaking to Jesus, and it says, likens the Holy Spirit to the wind. But some people, where prayer is concerned, they never do set their sail. They just, you know, they're just out there and they're just kind of blowing around and bouncing around in the wind, but they don't set their sail. They aren't catching the wind. They don't go in a direction. So you set your sail with your tongue. All right? You set your sail with your tongue. Say, for instance, there's a situation, or maybe you're praying for a certain person, and you pray along for that person, and yet you go as far in your understanding as you know. Just as far as you know in your understanding. And then you know, don't know. But on the inside of you, there's just more. You just know there's more concern in this situation. You just know there's more. That you're just not all the way released down here. There's just maybe an unction down here. And so what you do when that happens to you is you set your sail, and you set your sail like this, where a prayer is concerned. You say, Father, now, you know, I've prayed all I know to pray with my understanding. This is what you can say to him. You say, Father, I've prayed all I know to pray about this situation with my understanding. But you know, you said in Romans the 8th chapter that the Holy Spirit would come to our aid and bear us up in our inability to produce results. And there's some results that need to come forth here that I just can't bring forth with my understanding. And so I'm asking you to help me now. I'm asking you, Father, to help me now as I pray. And then you begin to pray in tongues. You put your tongues on that situation. All right? And you begin praying, and rather than just kind of meandering around, rather than just, I've seen people and they'll use tongues. It's almost like they take their tongue and they put it on automatic pilot or something. And then their head, their heart, everything goes kind of out to play, and they're just praying in tongues. No, that's not the way you do it. Tongues can be the most profitable thing where your prayer life is concerned, but it can absolutely be the most abused thing because you have to release faith. Now, when I said that to the Father, I am releasing faith in His word of Romans chapter 8, 26. I said to Him, Father, I don't know anymore, but You said the Holy Spirit would come to my aid and He would help me to pray concerning this situation. And so I'm praying now. That is releasing faith on the basis of His word, and that is going forward with purpose in prayer. You don't just pray in tongues just because it's like a habit or something. Or you just do it just kind of unconsciously. And when you pray in tongues, you don't, like I said, you don't leave your mind out there to wander around. You take your mind with your heart together with your tongue. You take your mind with your heart together with your tongue. And you don't allow it to go out and wander off somewhere. And when you begin to pray, you reverence the Lord. Now, this is three-fourths of the problem of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, of those people that have had the experience of the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of tongues, is that after a while, they don't see it as supernatural as it really is. And so when they begin to pray in tongues, they don't reverence God. The Bible says, when you speak in an unknown tongue, you speak unto God. Well, you know, if I'm having a conversation with Pastor Mac, I would consider it just rude for me to be looking around, just not paying any attention, just, you know. Isn't that rude to be talking to someone and not paying any attention to them? We would say that's rude. Well, it's rude. I'll just say that. It's rude for you to be talking to God and not paying Him any attention. And so when you pray in an unknown tongue, you reverence the Father. You're speaking unto Him. You may not understand everything, but you are speaking to Him because that's what the Bible said. And you've based your prayer life on the Word of God. And so you begin to speak to Him concerning that situation, releasing your faith based on the Word of God. Prayer always has purpose. Say, prayer always has purpose. Amen. And so thus far we've seen that the purpose of tongues, or we can say the reason that we pray in tongues, is number one, it was the initial evidence of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Remember, we're talking about the purpose and the scope of speaking in other tongues where your devotional life is concerned. And so the first one we saw what it was, that it is the initial evidence of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, according to Acts, the 10th chapter, verses 44 and 45. Second thing, we kind of demonstrated this more last week than we actually taught on it. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 7, we found out that it can be a tremendous help to you in your worship life before the Lord. And we kind of demonstrated that last week. The Bible says, he who prays in an unknown tongue giveth thanks well to God. And sometimes that worship, it'll well up on the inside of you, and it's so great toward God that natural words, English words, they just don't describe it. And so you can better do it in tongues. Amen? And the third purpose we have seen in this session, and also last week we talked about that sometimes that we don't know how to pray as we ought. We just might as well confess it, might as well profess it, that a lot of times we don't know. But because Jesus, when He died, that was one of the reasons that Jesus died, so that we could have the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, the Intercessor, the Strengthener, and the Standby that could help us. The Holy Ghost over in the book of Zechariah is called the Spirit of Grace and Supplication. In other words, the Holy Spirit is the one that gives you the grace to supplicate. He gives you the grace to pray. And so many times we do need His grace in our praying. Oh, we need help where He's concerned. Now, the fourth thing tonight is 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 2. We'll look at this, one of my favorite scriptures here. We just said it a few minutes ago, but we'll read it. For one who speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not to men, but to God. Now, we see right there, He's not talking about publicly. He's not talking about the ministry of tongues, because the public ministry of tongues is in a service. It's to people. The Bible says when we speak in an unknown tongue in a service, it edifies and builds up other people. We're going to see tonight that when you speak in an unknown tongue to God in your devotional life, you speak unto Him, and it edifies you. So it's two separate things completely. It says here, for he who speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. For no one understands or catches his meaning, because the Spirit, He utters, I like the way the Amplified here reads it, He says, He utters secret truths and hidden things. The King James translation says, He speaks mysteries unto God. He speaks mysteries. And that word mysteries there is in the Greek is translated plans and purposes. And I know for my own life, I know for the life of every person in this room, I know for the life of the body of Christ, that we are all destined for a particular plan. God has a cutout plan for each one of us. Now, it would be really, really nice if each person in here, that when we were born, the other night I was thinking of this, I was in a delivery with somebody, they had a baby. And I was thinking, wouldn't it be nice if he was born? And when he was born, there was a manual that he came with, that came with him. Wouldn't that be nice if there was a little handbook that came that told all about his little life, and you knew everything about him when he came into this world? Wouldn't that be easy? Well, on the inside of you, in your heart, there is one. There is a manual on the inside of you. There is. And the plan and the purpose of God is down on the inside. The plan of God is not in your head. It is in your heart. His plan for your life is down on the inside of you. It's not up here. You won't find it up here. You won't find it up here. It's in here. Else, if it had been up here, we would have all figured it all out. We would have written it down. We'd had goals, how you could achieve it, and we would have all been destined for that place. But the plan is not there. We can see that from, let's just look over to Acts 17, see if we've got time. Yeah, we have a little time to do this. Acts 17, I like the scripture. Paul, here was speaking, is it Acts 7? Yeah, it's Acts 17. Paul went down to Athens, and he began speaking to the Athenians. He stood up, and he begins to tell them about the unknown God that they've made an altar to. And he starts to preach about that God. And he says something very interesting about man. He said, verse 24, we'll just read his sermon here. Verse 24 of Acts 17. The God who produced and formed the world and all things in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in handmade shrines. Neither is he served by human hands as though he lacked anything. For it is he himself who gives life and breath and all things to all people. It is God who gives all things to all people. And he made from one common origin, one source, one blood, all nations of men to settle on the face of the earth, having definitely determined their allotted period of time and their fixed boundaries of habitation, their settlements, their lands, and their abodes. In other words, he said right here, God made man, and he made the plan for him. And he made that plan in verse 27 for a reason. This is the reason he made that plan. He said, so that man should seek God in the hope that they might feel after him and find him, although he is not far from each one of us. He is not far from each one of us, but we have to seek him. For in him we live and move and we have our being. And so we see that there is a plan of God for every person. And in Acts, just turn over a couple of chapters here, Paul said this concerning his life. He said, I do not esteem my life as dear to myself. No, let's back up a minute. He said in verse 22, Acts chapter 20, verse 22. And now you see, I'm going to Jerusalem, bound by the Holy Spirit, and obligated and compelled by the convictions of my own heart, not knowing what will befall me there, except that the Holy Spirit clearly and emphatically affirms to me in city after city that imprisonment and suffering await me. But none of these things move me, neither do I esteem my life dear to myself, if only I may finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have obtained has been entrusted to me by the Lord Jesus faithfully to attest the good news of the gospel. And so Paul said here, I have a course to finish. Not just a ministry, but I have a course. And he said, the Holy Spirit, where is the Spirit? Down in your heart. The Holy Spirit has spoken to me concerning about that plan when I go to Jerusalem. So we can see that that plan is down in your heart. Now, a lot of times, the Holy Spirit, he will want to pray about those plans and those purposes that you know not of. Lots of times he wants to do that. Pray about those. And so when I sense in my heart that he wants to pray about those, I just yield myself to the Holy Ghost and I allow him to pray out those things. In 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 2, we'll see this a little bit more clear. It says here, no, that's wrong. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it says this about full-grown, mature Christians who are ripe in understanding. It says, let's begin at verse 6. Yet when we are among the full-grown, spiritually mature Christians who are ripe in understanding, we do impart a higher wisdom. That is the knowledge of the divine plan previously hidden, the Amplified Bible says. But it is indeed not a wisdom of this present age, nor of the world, nor of the leaders, nor of the rulers of this age, who are being brought to nothing and are doomed to pass away. But rather, what we, speaking of the church here now, what we are setting forth is a wisdom of God once hidden and now revealed to us by God, which God devised and decreed before the ages of our glorification, that is, to lift us into the glory of His presence. He said this wisdom and this knowledge that we are bringing forth from us, that wisdom and not the wisdom and the knowledge of the church that we are to have, that's being revealed to us by God, is going to lift us into the glory of His presence. Now listen to what he said. None of the rulers of this age or the world perceived and recognized and understood this. For if they had, they would have never crucified the Lord of glory. How very interesting. Then it goes on to say, now in verse 10, yet to us God has unveiled and revealed to us by and through His Spirit, for the Holy Spirit searches diligently, exploring and examining everything, even sounding the profound and the bottomless things of God. Has anybody ever prayed about the profound and the bottomless things of God? If you didn't, you should. Says, the Holy Spirit, He is searching diligently, exploring, examining everything, even sounding the profound and bottomless things of God, the divine counsels and things hidden beyond man's scrutiny. For what person perceives and understands what passes through a man's own spirit within him? Just so no one discerns and comes to know or comprehend the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Where are those thoughts of God? Just said where they were. Said they're in man himself. Now we have not received the Spirit that belongs to the world, but we've received the Holy Spirit who is from God, given to us, that we might realize and comprehend and appreciate the gifts of God. And we are setting forth these truths in words. We are setting forth these plans, this revealing of God, of the glorification of the church, the plan of God, the purpose of God. We are setting forth these truths in words, not taught by human wisdom, but by the Holy Spirit. Now listen to what the Amplified says. Combining and interpreting spiritual truths with spiritual language to those who possess the Holy Spirit. And so there's sometimes another purpose for tongues then we can see is that the Holy Spirit many times will want to pray about the plans and the purposes of God for your life, for my life, for the life of the church. Hallelujah. Y'all should be shouting about now. Isn't that wonderful? That there is a way that you can pray out your own destiny. I mean, how far could you pray about your destiny in English? The part you know. But what about the part that you don't know? Think if you didn't have a way to pray out that part. Seeing as we said last week, the Holy Spirit, two intercessors, Christ and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, the only way that He can pray in the earth is through man. The only vehicle that the Holy Spirit has for praying in the earth is through a man. No other way. Yet God calls him in Romans 8 an intercessor. In John 16, in John 14, John 15, He calls him an intercessor. But yet, we become the facilitator of his intercession, or we become the frustrator of it, depending on how much we cooperate or we don't cooperate. Amazing, isn't it? People say, "Oh, I'll just let Brother so-and-so pray. You know, he's the prayer in the family." What about you? What about your prayer life? What about your life before God? What about your place? By the song here tonight said, "There is a river." It says, "Come to the water. There is a vast supply." That means there is a vast supply in every person in here. And God is needing your supply. Amen? Praise the Lord. And so, we'll do this other one, this last one here tonight quickly. The fifth purpose of tongues is found in 1 Corinthians 14. Turn over our scope of tongues. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 14. I'm looking for, "He who prays in an unknown tongue edifies himself." It's verse 4, I'm sorry. 1 Corinthians 14, 4. I knew. Here it is. "He who speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself." That word "edify" there means to charge. It means to build up. It means to fortify. He who prays in an unknown tongue edifies himself. All right? Another scripture we could look at, Jude, we'll just look at this one real quickly. Back, you know, by Revelations, right before Revelations is Jude, and we'll look in verse 20, it says, "But you, beloved, build yourself up on your most holy faith." We sang about that tonight. "Building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit." I have had the most amazing, astonishing experiences setting myself to build myself up and charge myself in the Holy Ghost. Not intercession, not supplicating, not praying, but setting myself to charge myself, setting myself to pray in tongues to edify my own self, to charge my spirit. I pray a lot like this before services, especially services that I would minister in. Before services, I pray a lot like this before classes, even before prayer meetings. Tremendous help to you praying like this, where you would set yourself to pray like that. Well, you see, the Bible said over there in Romans 8 that if you don't know what to pray, have you ever been in a situation where it came time for you to pray and you just kind of went, and you just didn't know? You didn't know whether to worship. You didn't know whether to pray for your daddy. You didn't know whether to... Sometimes on the inside of you, it's like an explosion. You know exactly what to pray about. It's like it's so big in you, it's really big. Sometimes on the inside of you, there'll be several things that you could pray about. Several things. The more that you enlarge your capacity for prayer, the Holy Spirit can put more on the inside of you. And how do you say this? It's like you carry things in your spirit to pray about. And they're big things. I mean, I don't mean to sound like it's a weight, but it's like you carry people. You carry ministries on the inside of you. And sometimes they seem to all be big. Well, what do I do when that happens to me? What I do is I get myself in a prayer place and I begin to edify myself. I don't pray about that. I begin to edify and charge my own self. And in many cases, what that will do is that it builds up your spirit so that you can catch what to do. You charge yourself. Sometimes, how would you say this? It will stimulate your spirit, you might say, or activate your spirit to a purpose. It's the only way I know how to say it. You know, the Bible says to be strong to apprehend. Have you ever, if the Bible says, be strong to apprehend, then you can be weak to apprehend. Have you ever been weak to apprehend? You would be weak to apprehend when you didn't know. You just don't know. Well, the Bible told you what to do over in Romans chapter 8. We've talked about this. What to do when you don't know. So sometimes you just need to edify your own self. You just begin praying in tongues, not interceding, not praying for anybody else, but you set yourself by faith on the Word of God to edify yourself, charge yourself. It says building yourself up in your most holy faith. Now see, you don't get faith by praying in tongues. The Bible says that faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But sometimes you need for your faith to be charged in a particular situation. You need for your faith to be fortified. You need to build it up. And so you begin praying in the Holy Ghost. One of the things that I have noticed over the years is people that don't have direction in prayer, where prayer is concerned. People that just don't have much direction where prayer is concerned. If you will stop and you will go on a little thing where you edify yourself, strong purpose will come. How is it that you would know that you were weak where prayer was concerned down in your spirit? You know what Jesus said in, I believe it is Luke chapter 18, he says, always pray and don't faint. Why is it that people get faint-hearted down in, discouraged down in here? Because they don't have purpose. If you have strong purpose, you're just, nah. Isn't that true? If you have strong purpose, what happens to you when you don't have purpose in your life? You're just kind of, you know. I see this with people where prayer is concerned. They'll come into a prayer group, and you can tell in a prayer meeting, people that are with it, they have strong direction. They're just, I don't know how to say it, they're just in there. Somebody that doesn't have strong purpose in prayer, this is the way you feel. I ask me how I know. This is the way you feel. I don't know if I'm going to go to prayer meeting tonight. I just don't want to go. That's no direction there. Because, honey, if you had direction, you would be hopping there like Peter Rabbit. If you had direction, but if you don't have any direction, you would want to hang back on the fringes. Just hang back on the fringes. You're just kind of like, ho hum. What do you need to do? That person, they may have read the Word today. They may have meditated in the Word. What do you need to do? You need to charge yourself up. In the Holy Ghost, you need to get yourself plenty charged up. And you need to start. Now, listen to me. I used to do this more than I do it now, but, you know, I pray in tongues so much. I guess that I don't do this much anymore, but I probably should do this. I used to time myself for edification. I used to time myself for edifying myself. See, you need to take ascendancy over your flesh. You need for your spirit man to take ascendancy over your flesh and what your flesh wants to do. Sometimes you need to say, uh-uh, flesh, we're going to do this. I kill you. And this is the way that you kill your flesh sometimes. You need to pray in tongues. You need to pray in tongues until you get uncomfortable. Now, I'll tell you how long you'll be comfortable. You'll be comfortable about 20 minutes. About 20 minutes, you'll be comfortable. And then, after that, you know, everything, your flesh will start screaming at you about all the things that you have to do. And what are you doing anyway? You are wasting your time. And so then what you do is you begin releasing your faith back here on 1 Corinthians 14 that says, for he who speaks in an unknown tongue, and you might have to tell the devil that, he who speaks in an unknown tongue speaketh unto God, but yet you edify yourself. So you start building yourself up and edifying, and you pray until you are very uncomfortable. And after I've noticed this, after between 20 and 30 minutes, most of the time, you'll hit a gusher. I see some people, a gusher? What's that? A gusher is over in 1 John chapter 2, and it says, "But as for you, you have a sacred appointment. The anointing which you received from him abides in you. So then you have no need that anyone should instruct you, but just his anointing teaches you concerning everything that is true and is no falsehood. So you must abide and live, never to depart, rooted in him, knit to him, just as his anointing has taught you to do." Well, see, the Bible says that you have an unction. You have an unction on the inside of you. You have a river on the inside of you. Now, there is a difference between praying in tongues and the gusher. There is a difference. And the only way I can tell you about it is that you'll know when you hit it. Yeah. You'll know when you hit it. You know when you don't hit it, and you know when you do hit it. And if you pray to edify yourself, now it doesn't take me very long because I exercise myself in tongues. I exercise. Tongues is a spiritual exercise. It will make you strong. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, it says that we need to be strengthened in our inner man. You are a spirit. You have a soul and you live in a body. And your spirit man needs to be built up. It needs to be built up in God. And the way you do that is by praying in the Holy Ghost. Building up your, that's one way. To build up your spirit man. Be strong, you know. If you've ever lifted weights, you know, you keep putting more weight and more weight on there. And you get stronger and stronger. This is exercise for you in the spirit. Now then, we did another one. We don't have time to do this one tonight, but I'll tell you about this one. The Bible says over in Isaiah 28, it talks to us about who prays or with stammering lips and another tongue. Will I give you rest, and I will give you refreshing. I heard a marvelous testimony of a man who's overcoming where his body is concerned. And he was saying one night he was having pain in his body and he couldn't sleep. And he said the only way that he could sleep, the only way that he could get relief was to pray in tongues. Because the Bible says in Isaiah 28 verse 11 that it's a refreshing to you. It's a rest to you. Brings rest and refreshing to you. Hallelujah. I'm glad for it, aren't you? I'm glad for the Holy Ghost tonight. I'm so very thrilled about him. Every day I get more thrilled about him and his work and the work that he is doing now in the earth through you and I. We are the temple, the Bible says, of the living God. And the Bible says, he said, I will live in you and I will walk in you and I will live among you. I am the temple of the living God. The Holy Spirit lives in me. And so he prays from inside me out. That's the way he does it. Praise his holy name forever. Now for the remaining time tonight, we're going to edify ourselves. Now remember, you're about your flesh that it won't like it, but we're going to do it anyway. Amen? Hallelujah. And when we pray in tongues, now, if there be anyone in here that wants the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you've never prayed in tongues? We'll just pray for you right now. Now, in the name, if anybody that wants, if you want it, you receive it by faith, just like you received salvation. You received salvation, you came to the altar, prayed by faith, believing that Jesus was your Savior. You believed in your heart and confessed Him with your mouth. The way that you receive the baptism in the Holy Ghost is very simple. You believe by faith that you receive. Jesus is the baptizer. Just like Jesus is the Savior, Jesus is the baptizer. And He's the one that baptizes you in the Holy Ghost. Amen? And so tonight, when we start to pray and edify ourselves, you ask the Lord for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I didn't even ask Him for it, and I got it. I didn't know it had a name. I just knew down on the inside of me that I was seeking God. I was seeking about my prayer life. I was seeking to know God. I was seeking, and I began to pray in tongues. I said, Lord, teach me to pray. Solo go barasa katabashanama. Who? That's about what happened to me. And I kept doing it, and the gusher came. The unction came. The power of God came on me. Amen? Tongues is supernatural. Oh, it will help you praise His holy name. Now we're going to stand and everybody and begin to pray in other tongues. Amen? Not in the tongues that you know, not in English, but in other tongues. And we're not going to pray about anything. We're going to edify ourselves. Release praise in that scripture that says, he who prays in an unknown tongue, he who prays in an unknown tongue, he who prays in an unknown tongue edifies himself. I'm going to edify and charge myself up tonight. Are you? Amen. Let's everyone stand. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, we're not going to have any music. We're not going to have any music. The reason we're not going to have any music, because you should not allow yourself to have the privilege of having music all the time. You should make yourself pray without music. Not always looking for some kind of crutch where prayer is concerned. Get your spirit man over involved. All right, everybody, let's go. Remember, he that prays in an unknown tongue speaketh unto God. Ando ride de gay baba sara da basha. Asakara basso perin da 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 da. Asiloko rete basusta. I charge myself up in the Holy Ghost. Adriz is a gida bastaria socodoba. Handed in an gum fast of a most lay. Andi ganamando ride de stase. Alabarasaka torres adaba. Glory. Asilebe basso carinda and in an amayo mozosti. She a batigay. Hastavarida anto valalale ketaraba. Asu nemine bambumberinesto so. Hatavidi deto so. Alimendo ashdidista. Emba rakatai. E zulalendon doberapakai. As a candinamo, yore ayusa itakadin. Ayusula baba papara desi de bapo redin. Yendi soba profikin, ejalevido, do herinda hasiki, esta papasindo moronda, merasta, ezakade, elia da hadi o ya baba urade, do you ostin the standis, as again the maafre, aziki de basto stese, as a bedra hata corianta summonimendo, o zolobe hasate dendon randa mi massa, are you ready de do boso corri de basasa? Now I feel you getting uncomfortable. So come on, let's go. Arizigi dindang bembo soko. Eshe nenin bako revavasa bago. Ari didedato to tetradedato dasta. Lift your hands now. As above you, Korea shata bastenion. Na yuria hatarakasa ha ha. Adius dadio boso bodian. And you renin ingando set for stopa. At your table of running, Nazabe Autorishtasa, Erazo de Bibaso Kadibe Papa Profidin, Lazi de Deisos SSO, Hori Hata Yopasati Odo de Stai, Ula Baba Seketi Dom, Ola Bosania Hasta Cola Hare Stai, Ola Vasika Namando Risale Hiam, Bora Sakelido, Ola Basadi Mosto Viratosa. And the Yamandera Mamboso, as you love a Seca Babadre, all is a diatata state your style, as a beado di Nando, Aleatatristas, Zebasa Boso Okae, Ayutatistan, Elaban, Elaban, you know by, here's all of you, you say Babashtai, and stay in your no nane, nanama, Esso, a Seke, a Kula, a Kandime. And you were ravishing for refuge, Donny, as if it were a cocati at the stosti. Ooh, glory. Glory to God. El Sulama Mansti Bastisi. Landirida. Ola Bakebara Barebosta says here Bastes. Sengon de Minimando. Alevisaka Barreses. Nanstone standis, Dunstone dances, Akerebesa. Ella did radididista so. As a couple of satibestos, as a lute at Ristasasam, and or in dedicated saw. Anstem basto bareba. Langariestos esos esebato borabasab. Aresikadoba. And you rasebeba pasa. Hail you rarale sanyo. Aresateke. Meba, meba, rapeo yota. As Jesus, as I say, so so good. Nambo ridididato road. Alagandinamondos des desse. Asukulebede bastosa. Aresula hetora. Asibiba papa preparota. Arasicato basteri. Asukole hita harre sesta bostona. Hindu ready to get roba bastes. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Ezubalasita. Asamarista staredesta. Ori salababapako reste. Shande masako reste. Omborisako dostase. Alavasake babapastai. Leda zuyaraninendosto sikere. Lando restesa. Yeho lobakatos. Ambrosolababakia rastenstona. Emborosoluta desta sastero. Glory. Haristika robasta. Orishita basdena. Lendiusto. Glogaristeri andasa. Erasti ratokala mamamandi staste. Lebrasata. Oh. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Woo! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Glory to God! Asakurabasta. Just makes you happy, don't it? Glory! Asakurabasta. Hallelujah! Asakurabasta. You ought to spend a lot of time doing that. A lot of time. Not just a little. Well, I don't have any time. Well, what about the 2 hours that you spend watching television every night? Well, now I've gone to meddling. We better quit. You know, the Lord said to me when I was edifying myself, sometimes he'll talk to you, you know, when you start edifying yourself. He said, look at that scripture over in Psalms 102. Well, I didn't know there was a scripture over in Psalms 102. As soon as I turned the page, it says here in verse 16, my eyes just went right on it. He said, when the Lord builds up Zion, and you know, Zion over in the book of Hebrews is speaking of the church. He said, when the Lord builds up Zion, he will appear in his glory. Isn't that great? Hallelujah. Aren't you glad tonight? Aren't you just glad tonight? We're just glad. It's good to be glad. You know, it's terrible to be a sad Christian. It's wonderful to be a glad Christian, to be happy and joyful. And so that when you walk out of here tonight, you can be filled with joy instead of sadness. You can have a river going out of you tonight when you go to the restaurant that might help somebody. Instead of walking in there like this and looking like the world, you can be separate. Hallelujah.
For the continuation of this series, please move to the next CD.